Welcome to the Million Dollar Multi-Op Podcast. Here, you're going to find education, entertainment, and a little inspiration on how to get to the next level. Are you a DJ company owner that's looking for the secret sauce? Congrats, you found it.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Million Dollar Multi-Op Podcast. I'm your host, David Osborne with BlueprintLearn.com. Last week on the podcast, we had the incredibly wise serial entrepreneur and CPA and CFO, Chad Brown. Now, Chad gave us three common mistakes that multi-op owners make, and he went through some really great stuff in really great detail. If you haven't checked out that episode, go do it. It's awesome. And this is the companion deep dive into some of those ideas. And he talked about the idea of focusing down on a niche and keeping your service offerings simple. That's what he talked about a lot. So I want to take that a little bit further today. And I want to talk about making decisions for the things that you offer and why in terms of profitability. So we're still keeping with some finance, but really, you know, deep diving on one of these ideas. Now, I am not perfect on this. I'm guilty of it too. And I think most of us are to some degree. In case you haven't noticed, the DJ industry is kind of an ego-driven industry where we like to do cool things and be noticed for it. So no judgment on that, but we're going to all together try to get better at this kind of collectively. And I'm going to help shine a light on it, but I'm going to also try and get better at this myself. So it helped me kind of think through what we're doing and why. Now, I literally know some multi-op owners. A few of you probably are listening. And if I close my eyes, I can see your faces in my head. And I know that some of y'all, you see something cool on Instagram, TikTok, whatever it might be, or you see a cool thing at a conference, and you immediately whip out the credit card and you get the thing because you're like, oh my God, we could do this in our market. And you're right, you could do it in your market. But as Chad said, it's even in the reel on the Blueprint Instagram, just because you could doesn't mean you should. Because a lot of the people that you see that are making all this money with these new things are also spending money to make it happen. That is so important. So today, I think it would be kind of one part super helpful for a lot of you and a lot of listeners, and also one part kind of uncomfortable for me to be vulnerable and share a part of my professional journey where I think that I kind of messed up on this and landed me in a little bit of hot water, and maybe, you know, how it all got fixed. But I like you guys, and I appreciate your support, and anything that I can share from my own experience that helps you, I'm going to do it. So let's dive in. I think there's some important information, some important background you need to know to help set this up is back in the day, back before I was a professional DJ, which started in 2008, I was a professional gigging trumpet player. If you're a longtime listener of the podcast or you know me well, you know that I have a degree in music education from the University of Georgia. And that part I talk about a lot. I taught kids, I taught school, right? But I also studied the trumpet as if my hair was on fire. I was planning on becoming a professional trumpet player. So during college, I was putting myself through college playing gigs and teaching lessons and doing all kinds of stuff to support myself and making some cash on the side. I played at churches and orchestras, for bands, for small events, for funerals, anything that you could think of that could have music at, I was playing at in some way. And if you don't have any experience as a gigging musician, then you probably don't really understand gig culture. Gig culture is a mindset that you got to take as much work as possible to make it, you know, just to make it, and that you're not going to get paid a lot. Gig culture is like, whatever the pay is, I'm doing it. A lot of DJs that start out are in gig culture too. And, you know, it's okay. You love performing. You want to make money what you're doing, but there's no real education around making real money as a musician. It's just kind of working hard and doing a lot of shows. And now there are some musicians who can make a living, you know, doing that sort of thing, but it's not the norm. It's the exception. It's like the same percentage of people that become starting NFL quarterbacks making millions of dollars a year. It's the same kind of odds. If you are a gigging wind or string musician, the chance that you're making a real living on it without doing something else, it's about the same odds that you're going to be the starting quarterback for an NFL team. It's not very high. So coming from that background, you might understand why when I had the opportunity to help local live musician friends, I took it. And I didn't do a great job of it for myself. I tried to do a good job for them. Because in 2017, when I went full-time as a DJ, I was looking for anything outside of my own DJ performance to make more money, to increase the revenue for the company. Because remember, I had some kids and I was trying to support my family. And I was also trying to grow a multi-op, which I was doing unsuccessfully. So live musicians was a pretty accessible source of extra business. I just went to my friends, right? I started by adding a guitarist for ceremonies, then a flute and guitar duo, a steel drum duo. I had a blues singer who also played guitar. Dude, that dude was amazing. I had a harpist. We had a looping violinist, you know, like would play little loops on the violin and then play over it. Oh my God, it was so incredible. Jazz trio, and we just kept growing. And that collection of talent kind of became like this little agency type deal. And then before you know it, I was managing and built an 8-piece band that sometimes would flex out to a 10-piece band. And let me tell you, guys, that was so much fun. It was so awesome. And that band was incredible. It was a blast. I felt like the coolest kid in the world. Now, all these musicians, this whole arsenal, this whole agency looked awesome on the website. It immediately made me feel like we had a huge team and that I was super successful. This was an ego move all day long because I didn't understand profit, right? The top line revenue, the income was growing, but not the profit. The profit of the company was in the toilet. That means I was creating all these things to look cool on paper, but it was really of no financial benefit to me almost at all. I kind of was like, well, if we could just get this going, maybe someday we'll have enough volume to get there. A lot of you think that way. The vulnerable part is I would just have these musicians set their rate. I'd be like, hey, person, what do you charge me to do a wedding or to do an event or to do a thing? And typically their rates were, you know, it was gig culture. They were trying to make it. And I really didn't feel like I could charge much more than what they were charging me. So I would add, you know, 5, 10, maybe 15% max on top. And then I would justify it as, hey, this is like an agency model. I'm supporting them. I'm getting them work and we're making a little bit of money for the administrative side of it. And, you know, for example, like a guitarist might charge me $400 or $500 and then I'm charging the client $475 or $500. And I could have four live musicians out on a Saturday, but the financial piece was out of whack, man. It was just not great. And I knew in 2018 and 2019, I knew that this was upside down, but I didn't know how to fix it. As awful and as nasty as the COVID years were for a lot of people, it was the time and the opportunity was that silver lining of that time where we basically had to shut down and lose a lot of business, but it gave me the opportunity to reset. And I was able to take a look at everything we were doing. So all that peripheral stuff, all the live musicians, all the photo booths, like all the stuff that wasn't just the core DJ services dried up. And also during this time, thankfully, I was meeting weekly with some awesome industry peers, many of which you know, some of which might be listening. We had a small little group called the Monday Morning Meetup. Shout out Justin Reed for giving me an invite to that group. It was pretty substantially life-changing. The collective intelligence and creativity in that group was outstanding. There's some serious industry titans now that were in that group. And that group was when people hear me talk about, hey, you know, when I started the Blueprint and that's the group that I showed my original training program to. And Justin was one of the people who was like, can I have that? Yeah, there's some other folks in the group too. Matt Radicelli eventually came and spoke to our group, and that's the first pod for Mentor Pods was our Monday group. And it was through the Mentor Pods journey that I got a much better handle on the fundamentals of profitability. Okay, so this, the decline in the business, in the live musician and photo booth business side of things, plus the education through Mentor Pods, was what allowed me to reset and to reapproach how to do all these things. Kind of like what Chad was saying, right? Niche down and focus on a few core offerings. And I'm going to just share this here because I think every time we talk about how much you pay your DJs, how much you pay your DJs, how much you pay your DJs, no one's willing to really talk about it because they feel like it's some sort of secret. So today I'm going to share with you the industry standards for profitability in a event DJ company. And then what you do with it is your business. You can take it and do whatever you want. You do you, right? So you have your revenue. That's the money that comes in. Let's use $1,000 as your example. Let's say you do a show and the cost to the client is $1,000. Your revenue is $1,000. Okay, now you have your costs of the goods sold. That's a term. Cost starts with C, of is O, goods is G, COG. So your COGS, your cost of goods sold, is the expenses necessary to provide your product or service. So for us, for DJ companies, typically that's labor. If it's a photo booth and you're charging, that would be the paper and the ink. Without the paper and the ink that you purchase, you can't run the photo booth. For Cold Sparks, that's the powder. If you have to buy powder for that event, that's a COG. So the part that rocked my world is that the industry standard for COGS is 40%. That means all the costs, labor and other things that go into an event should be 40% or lower. It means 60% of your revenue survives, right? Makes it through to the next step. Our live musicians back in the day were at like 90% COGS. Y'all, that's dangerous. Like go out of business dangerous. And the only reason that we stayed afloat and why I didn't really fully feel that problem was because I, like a lot of aspiring DJ company owners, was working my face off. I was DJing a shit ton of shows. I was doing, you know, like 150 events a year, and I was not paying myself the labor costs. I was not saying, hey, here's 30, 40% of that show, David. I was just taking a real modest, meager salary that was much too low. And I was covering that horrible percentage from the live musician side by not paying myself for the shows that I was doing. So I was basically working in order to bleed my company dry. So it was just an insane thing that I was doing in retrospect. So now, when we offer live musicians, and we don't do a ton, but when we do like fusion experiences with the sax and drums and things like that, we are factoring in the costs, the COGS of those musicians into the whole show and making sure that the COGS for the show don't exceed 40%. Now, 30% labor is even better if you can swing it, because you really need that extra 10% between the 30 and the 40 for other COGS, like your paper, your ink, your powder, your gas, your van rentals, anything that you need for that specific event. Or support staff, you might have like, okay, we have a photo booth, so now we have a photo booth attendant. There's extra labor, right? So you got to think about all those extra costs. Now, you can also think about it, if you added other services that surrounded the DJ, like a photo booth, that might have a higher margin. And then the overall margin for the event would be better. So it's all kind of, it's just math. So once you have that 60% you're left over with, now you have to accommodate for your fixed expenses. And that industry standard is also 40%. 40 plus 40 is 80. So 80% of your revenue is costs. That's salaried employees. That's your rent that you pay. That's your van payment if you have one. That's your subscriptions, your operations, your cell phone bill, your direct music service subscription, all those things are fixed expenses. So that leaves 40 and 40 is 80, 100 minus 80 is 20, 20% profit. So $1,000 show, $200 profit after all your costs. And that's not just 20% in the owner's pocket, folks. If you are an aspiring multi-op owner, it's not just $200 in your pocket. It is used, that 20% is used for taxes. It's used for reinvesting equipment purchases and assets for your business to make more money. And then whatever's also paying down loans. And then whatever is left after all that, that's for the owner. So if you have 60 to 90% costs, COGS, right? Your business ain't healthy. That's Chad's point. The point is, all that to say, when you're making decisions for which services, how to price your services, how much to pay your staff, which services to add or to let go, you must be doing it for profit and not for ego. So many of us make these decisions for ego. I did, and I was buying gear and paying musicians because it looked cool. Now I pay people and I make decisions on purchases for things that generate revenue and create a healthier profit margin. I know many of you want to be the best, right? You want to be the best in your market, the most sought after, the premium offering, the favorite vendor, the dream team, the one who looks the coolest on Instagram. Don't get me wrong. This is an ego-driven industry. A lot of us are like that. But the last solo cast, the one before Chad Brown's podcast, I talked about the phrase, you do you, boo, and doing business your way, carving your own path, becoming your own. The last, that whole idea should be something that you embrace and work towards, right? Because at the end of the day, it's not how much you make. It's how much you keep, right? So Alex Hormozi, he's a business influencer. If you don't know who I'm talking about, you've probably seen him. He's a big gym bro. He's jacked. He's got like nose strips. He's got a big beard, wears tank tops, and spits just fire quotes on the internet. He said, if you don't understand margin, you don't understand business. I guarantee a lot of the DJs you see on social that are doing cool stuff aren't profitable. Yes, there are some that are doing cool stuff that are profitable. But here's the thing. When you look at your Instagram feed, you can't tell which one is which. No one's going up and going, hey, look at this cool effect I'm doing. And here's the profit margin. That's not what's happening. You're just seeing it. So you have to make the decisions. You have to niche down. We learned from Chad is to limit your offerings to what is profitable and scalable. Scalable, that means it takes less energy in order to get more results. More juice, less squeeze. So don't just jump into other things just because other people are doing it, just because another company's doing it, just because your friend's doing it. You should make every decision in your business for profit, not for ego. Guys, thanks for listening. I appreciate every one of you. As always, we have free resources at blueprintlearn.com/resources. We also have a really cool course called How to Train an Event DJ. It's only $19 at the time of this solo cast. We also have a cohort where you can be part of a group where we talk weekly on how to train DJs. There's a lot of cool resources at Blueprint Learn. And I'm here to help you. And I can't wait. It's about conference season. I'm going to be seeing a lot of you coming up soon. And as always, thanks again. And we'll see you on the next one.